This is Mr. PvP. We're broadcasting live from Hudson. This is WGXC Acra.
Oh, this is always a good time. You know, this always is the time to stop and remind you that if you're listening and you like us and you support the station in general, why don't you become a sustaining listener supporter? It's not hard. You go to the website, wgxc.org or .org, and there's a slash, and then it says donate. And you go there, and what you find is the way to become a sustaining supporter. And what that means is every month, GXC, the kind folks here at GXC, will alert you to the fact that you are money is being taken from your credit card. Not a lot. Whatever you ask, whatever you say you were willing to give, be it $5, be it $100, it's there. They let you know, and you then you don't even have to worry about it. They'll ask you if you want to give that month, and you do, and you don't even know it's gone. You know, it's like it's so much harder. If I had $5 in my pocket and someone said, "Please give me that for the WGXC," I'd say, "Hey, I need it for my coffee, my whatever." But if you're never even saw it and it's online and it's your credit card, you don't even think about it.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
Hi, this is Debbie Mayer in Hudson, and you're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 on your radio dial or streaming 24/7 at WGXC.org.
Hi, I'm Al Criazzo. Catskill Mountain Housing is looking to help income-qualified homeowners in Greene County. We have funding available from the state of New York to pay for your needed repairs, like a new roof or a furnace replacement. Whatever you need to keep your house a safe, secure, and affordable environment for your family, call me at area code 518-943-6700 or drop by our office at 448 Main Street in Catskill.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable. All the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
Hi, this is Debbie Mayer in Hudson, and you're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 on your radio dial or streaming 24/7 at WGXC.org.
Hi, I'm Al Criazzo. Catskill Mountain Housing is looking to help income-qualified homeowners in Greene County. We have funding available from the state of New York to pay for your needed repairs, like a new roof or a...
Good evening. This is Kevin Factor, and this is Foraging Ahead. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, and I have a very special guest today for this Open Ears Radio Fun Drive. As you probably know, you can call, or maybe you don't, 518-697-7400. Or you could donate online, wgxc.org/donate. And we're looking for some sustaining pledges, just a little bit, every month, and you can keep these fine programs on the air. But before we start, I'd like to give a little shout out to a little fellow who's feeling poorly, Gabe. Hope you're feeling better, and if you finish your dinner, I think there's some ice pops left in the freezer. So ask your mom nicely. But today, my special guest is Federico Garcia Lorca, the famous Spanish poet and playwright, and he's here to discuss a concept that I only recently came across, and I feel somewhat ignorant, having never discovered this in my life, the idea of El Duende. Mm-hmm. So, Federico, thank you for coming on Foraging Ahead.
Of course, thank you very much. It's a great pleasure to be back from the dead and talking to you on your radio show.
You look well.
Oh, thank you very much.
You had no trouble finding the place?
No. My spirit sort of floated around the globe and then reincarnated itself for a moment here in wonderful Hudson, New York.
Lovely.
Well,
you look hale.
I feel hale and hearty. That's right.
So let's talk a little bit about the idea of El Duende.
Mm-hmm. El Duende.
El Duende. You spoke eloquently about it a while ago. Explain to people who aren't familiar with the term what El Duende is. There are several components mm-hmm. to it. It's an essential part of art, music, uh-huh. and things like that. Good art. But mm-hmm. it's a little bit different.
Great art.
If you say you're the expert, so mm-hmm.
Well, there's a difference between good art and great art.
What is that difference?
Well, good art can be, you can have a perfectly technically accomplished guitarist or piano player, say, mm-hmm. who hits all the right notes at the right time, is even dazzlingly technically accomplished, but it's still that player doesn't necessarily have duende, which isn't something that necessarily has anything to do with technical bravado. It's a feeling. It's a little hard to describe. It's hard to put your finger on. But duende.
Well, like I said, you're the expert, and mm-hmm. we're gonna give it our darndest today.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember you telling me earlier that there are four elements to mm-hmm. El Duende.
Well, Christopher Marr, who translated my essay from Spanish into English, identifies in the foreword to this book from New Directions, identifies four elements of duende. There's irrationality,
okay,
earthiness,
mm.
A heightened awareness of death, and a dash of the diabolical.
A dash of the diabolical.
Mm-hmm.
Umami?
Umami is, I guess that's, you could say that's the Japanese word for it.
But let's, earthiness. When you talk about mm. earthiness, what is it, what do you mean by earthiness?
Well, earthiness is a quality that art can have that is, I suppose it's the opposite of airiness or heavenliness, there's, and you can have great music that isn't, earthy, imagine, I don't know, Bach's Goldberg Variations played on a harpsichord, that has an airy quality. Mm-hmm. What earthiness means is something that comes, from below. It comes from the ground. It has to do with, folk music. Blues has that earthiness, folk poetry. Sort of simple rhyming poetry that I was going to tell you about the anecdote about Buddy Holly.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Buddy Holly has duende.
Really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I was going to tell you this about this one time when I was not me. I was visiting the body of someone who was seeing a concert in San Francisco once years ago that for some reason was a tribute to Buddy Holly, and they had all of these indie you know, rock and folk musicians who were playing their own songs, and then they would also play Buddy Holly covers, and they were eager to play their own songs, but because of course they wanted the recognition and the spotlight, they were hoping to sell some albums. But what became immediately apparent when they were playing their own stuff as opposed to the covers of Buddy Holly songs is that their own songs were nowhere near as good as the Buddy Holly songs. Hmm. It's pretty hard to screw up a cover of a Buddy Holly song, because a great song is just a great song.
Hmm.
Because it was extremely clear that the Buddy Holly songs were simple, simply written, sparsely written, and elemental. There was something earthy about it. They had duende. They were songs that
El Duende, mm-hmm. like, was part of the fabric of that particular song.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely,
is that right?
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you can sing a song with more or less duende, you know. But there are certain songs and certain poems that just, you know, have the duende, you know. Mm. And when you heard their own songs, very often they were wordy. You know, they had too many words, or the words were too complicated, too smart. There's something a little dumb, or not dumb, but just irrational, you know, about duende.
Mm.
You know, duende can be, you know, there's a sort of punk rock element of duende, you know.
It's, right. But it's not anger. I mean, or excitement or things like that. I mean, like, you know, it's not the excitement that you get from being, like, say, at a Wham concert, or
right.
But it's easy to do anger and excitement.
Yeah.
Duende seems a whole lot more subtle.
Well, duende, it's just you have it or you don't. You know, duende is something that it comes from.
It's like that
comes
you
from
know,
the soul. You
that
know?
That you know what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that as the French say, I don't know what. you know,
so, is duende is you spoke of the irrationality of El Duende, and that sort of bypasses the rational mind. It goes to the night mind.
Mm-hmm. It's
all
dark.
things that have dark tones have duende.
You know, there's something, you know, it's kind of the sex-death continuum, you know, eros-thanatos. It's duende, you know.
Mm.
It was a word that originally was used to describe flamenco music, when it's good, you know.
Ooh,
flamenco
when it's
music,
good.
When
Is
it's
there
good.
Bad flamenco music?
Oh, sure, you can play anything badly.
Mm.
If you play something without soul or without feeling, you know, I mean, you can play a piece of music, but if you're just going through the motions and in your head you're you know, composing your grocery list, you're not playing with duende, you know. Duende is you know, it's a feeling, you know. It's a feeling, and it's hard
to
describe.
Is it more than a feeling?
More than a feeling is a great example of a song that does not have duende.
Is that right? Well, we'll go on. We'll explore this concept of duende first, but I'm eager to I have some music that I'd like to share, and as the expert, you let me know if you know duende si or no, right? Mm. But you don't, you know, you can use the English if you like.
Well, yeah, I can. I might, you know, I might say si or no, si or no, in Espanol.
Mm. Okay, this first cut that we're going to do is by Abdurrahim Hayat, who is a Uyghur poet and musician who ran afoul of the Chinese authorities.
Mm-hmm. The body that Federico Garcia Lorca is inhabiting, that of Ben Hale, that person has a good friend who's an anthropologist who studies the Uyghur people.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure he's familiar with this. It'd be nice to have him on, and we can maybe explore this.
I'm looking forward to this.
So you're not going to understand the words, but mm-hmm. let's see if we can find if there is a component of earthiness, if mm-hmm. there is a dash of the diabolical, if there is a heightened awareness of death, which mm-hmm. I don't know if we could just get that from the music. And an irrationality.
Duende transcends language. I'll know whether or not I can understand the language.
And yeah, so we're just going to cue that up, hopefully. And in the meantime, could you explain how Duende is different from, let's say,
well,
the muse or the angel?
In the essay that I wrote upon the subject of the theory and play of the Evel Duende, in which I popularized the term as applied to art, I mentioned that there were three sources of inspiration: the angel, the muse, and El Duende. And all three of these figures are, you know, can be inspirations to poets. The angel is, as I put it in the essay, the angel guides and gives like Saint Raphael, defends and avoids like Saint Michael, announces and forewarns like Saint Gabriel. The angel dazzles, but he flies high over a man's head, shedding his grace, and the man effortlessly realizes his work or his charm or his dance. The angel on the road to Damascus, and the one that came through the crack of light in the balcony of Assisi, and the one who tracked Heinrich Suso are all ordering, and it is useless to resist their lights, for they beat their steel wings in an atmosphere of predestination. The muse dictates and sometimes prompts. She can do relatively little, for she is distant and so tired, I saw her twice, that one would have to give her half a heart of marble. Poets who have muses hear voices and do not know where they are coming from. They come from the muse that encourages them and sometimes snacks upon them, as happened to Apollinaire, a great poet destroyed by the horrible muse who appears with him in certain paintings by the divine angelic Rousseau. The muse awakens the intelligence, bringing the landscape of columns and a false taste of laurel. But intelligence is often the enemy of poetry, because it limits too much, and it elevates the poet to a sharp-edged throne where he forgets that ants could eat him or that a great arsenic lobster could fall suddenly on his head. Things against which the muses that live in monocles and in the lukewarm lacquered roses of tiny salons are quite helpless. The muse and the angel come from outside us. The angel gives lights, and the muse gives forms. Loaf of gold or tunic fold, the poet receives forms in his grove of laurel. But one must awaken El Duende in the remotest mansions of the blood and reject the angel, and give the muse a kick in the seat of the pants, and conquer our fear of the violet smile exhaled by 18th-century poetry, and of the great telescope in whose lens the muse, sickened by limits, is sleeping. The true fight is with the Duende.
Ooh, interesting. Mm. Mm. So,
it's a struggle.
It is a struggle. Mm-hmm. Duende is a struggle. It's kind of mm-hmm. like this show sometimes.
No, Duende is something you have to fight with. You know, that's what you can hear.
You have to fight with it, but not for it. That's interesting.
No, not for
that
it. No.
It is a force against.
Well, because if the Duende wins, you die. The Duende is, it's the art of the bullfight.
Mm.
Death is possible.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Right. So I think the Chinese are preventing me from getting this this Uyghur mm-hmm. music. So we're gonna go to a new artist that I was just turned on to today called
Rosalia.
Rosalia, and mm-hmm. Listen, and you tell me if this has the four elements of Duende, or as the Japanese say, umami.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
suerte la que yo tuve. El día que la encontré, la señalé y todo a punta de navaja, prima sobre la pared. La señalé y todo a punta de navaja, prima sobre la pared. Como las hojas de un cuchillo, brillaban los acai suyos cuando le dieran. Aquí suponga que no levante la voz, que no lo escuche la novia.
Well, so that was about half of it. We're not going to play the whole thing. So you tell me, did that have El Duende?
Sí.
It did. All right. El Duende.
Absolutely. That that is almost the definition of Duende. That, especially, you know what especially has Duende is that guitar strumming right at the beginning, just the very beginning of that track. The strumming, and then followed by that Arabic influenced, I don't know what you call that.
Tell me this then. Do you think then that what makes El Duende or Spain, I suppose, the birthplace or the claimant of Duende? Do you think without the Arabic influence that would not be there? I mean, without Arabic influence, there would be no flamenco, obviously. But
I think that that Spain is. One of the interesting things about Spain is that it's always been kind of a crossroads of many different cultures. It's where Catholicism mixes with the influences of the Arabs and the Jews who are living there, Catholicism, Islam, and Judaism, and various other cultural crossroads. The Bedouins and so on, the Moroccans, a bunch of different cultures kind of came together, Gypsies and so on, and created Spanish culture, which is. The seat of the Duende.
Excellent. So I'll play one more cut. You let me know if you feel like this has El Duende. Mm-hmm.
No.
No,
I don't think that.
Can I just say, I've been waiting my entire life to Rickroll Federico Garcia Lorca.
No, it's a.
But
I don't,
it's a love song, no?
Yeah, but
it doesn't have.
No. Duende.
It's lacking all of the elements. It has.
Yeah, there's no heightened awareness of death.
I feel that when I hear that.
Well, yeah, but not in a. Not in a good way, you know. The Duende is, it has nothing to do with John Coltrane had Duende. Kenny G does not have Duende.
Oh.
Both are incredibly accomplished saxophonists.
Mm-hmm.
But Coltrane had Duende, and Kenny G does not. You see what I mean?
I do. I hear you. So I'm sorry, mm-hmm. Federico.
Miles Davis had Duende. Wynton Marsalis has no Duende.
Ooh, that's kind of bold. But you know what? You are the expert, so.
I know.
Though I do have to.
There's something a little evil about it, you know, a dash of the diabolical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think Miles Davis had that in.
Oh yeah, no, you can hear that. You know, it's dangerous. There's a possibility, you know. And you can hear it in poetry too. Mm. You know that
any poets come to mind? That
mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Garcia Lorca for one, and myself. In English, I would say William Blake's got it.
Yeah.
Milton had it.
Ooh.
Yeats definitely had it.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. And then there are others that. You know, even there's some great poets who Duende isn't quite the first thing that you think of.
Hmm.
Keats, no, you don't think of Duende, even though he died young. You don't think of Duende with Keats, but with Blake definitely.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. Interesting. I hate to interrupt, but this is a Radio for Open Ears pledge drive. You're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC. I'm Kevin Factor. This is Foraging Ahead. My special guest today is
Federico Garcia Lorca.
Federico Garcia Lorca. We're discussing Duende, and we're
El Duende.
We're trying. Sorry, yeah, forgot the article. If you want to continue having amazing guests and programs, you could pledge a little bit, right? You could call 518-697-7400 or online at wgxc.org/donate. We're looking for sustaining pledges, but anything, like less than a dollar a day, less than a cup of coffee. It's mm-hmm. Essential. It is essential. This is an essential part of the community. I feel it's an essential part of keeping me safe and out of trouble and giving me a direction once a month. And
yeah, you'd be running in the streets if it weren't for this show.
Yeah, pretty much. I'd be running in the streets. But
up to no good.
But now I get the opportunity to channel amazing dead Spanish poets.
Mm-hmm.
I will say. I had to read La Casa de Bernarda Alba when I was like a little too young for it. I wasn't a fan. I don't know. I'll give it another crack now. I feel like I owe that to you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you went to an interesting party.
Oh.
It seemed like El Duende was a very integral part of. Just sort of your experience there.
I think I said it best in the essay.
Oh.
The great artists of the south of Spain, whether gypsy or flamenco, whether they sing, dance, or play, know that no emotion is possible unless the Duende comes. They may be able to fool people into thinking they have the Duende. Authors and painters and literary fashion mongers do so every day. But we have only to pay a little attention and not surrender to indifference in order to discover the fraud and chase away their clumsy artifice. The Andalusian singer Pastora Pavón, La Niña de los Pianes, dark Hispanic genius whose powers of fantasy are equal to those of Goya or Rafael de Gallo, was once singing in a little tavern in Cadiz. For a while she played with her voice of shadow, of beaten tin, her moss-covered voice, braiding it into her hair or soaking it in wine or letting it wander away to the farthest, darkest bramble patches. No use. Nothing. The audience remained silent. In the same room was Ignacio Espleta, handsome as a Roman turtle, who had once been asked, "How come you don't work?" and had answered, with a smile worthy of Antagonias, "Work? Why? I'm from Cadiz." And there was hot Elvira, aristocratic Sevillian whore, direct descendant of Soledad Vargas, who in 1930 refused to marry a Rothschild because he was not of equal blood. And the Floridas, whom the people take to be ranchers, but who are really menial priests, who still sacrifice bulls to Garrigon. And in one corner sat the formidable bull rancher Don Pablo Marube, with the air of a Cretan mask. When Pastora Pavon finished singing, there was total silence, until a tiny man, one of those dancing mannequins that rise suddenly out of brandy bottles, sarcastically murmured, "Long live Paris," as if to say, "Here we care nothing about ability, technique, skill. Here we are after something else." As though crazy, torn like a medieval mourner, La Niña de los Pianes leaped to her feet, tossed off a big glass of burning liquor, and began to sing with a scorched throat, without voice, without breath or color, but with El Duende. She was able to kill all the scaffolding of the song and leave way for a furious, enslaving duende, fiend of sand winds, who made the listeners rip their clothes with the same rhythm as do the blacks of Antilles when, in the Lucumi rite, they huddle in heaps before the statue of Santa Barbara. La Niña de los Bienes had to tear her voice because she knew she had an exquisite audience, one which demanded not forms, but the marrow of forms, pure music with a body lean enough to stay in the air. She had to rob herself of skill and security, send away her muse and become helpless, that her duende might come and deign to fight her hand to hand. And how she sang! Her voice was no longer playing. It was a jet of blood worthy of her pain and her sincerity, and it opened like a ten-fingered hand around the nailed, hot, stormy feet of a Christ by Juan de Uni. That is the duende. Duende is not the matador or the bull. Duende is the fight.
It's the fight.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Interesting. Well, I'm gonna throw you a curveball here. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm gonna play a piece and listen. We'll see if it has earthiness, if it has a dash of the diabolical, heightened awareness of death and an irrationality. Mm-hmm. Now do you believe that? We might get in a little bit of trouble here discussing sort of the differences in Christian faiths, but mm-hmm. it seems to me that Catholicism more than Protestantism lends itself mm-hmm. to that mm-hmm. duende.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Why do you believe that?
Well, for one thing, if you just if you think about the food or the music of Catholic versus Protestant countries, it's almost a universal truth that Catholic countries have better food. Where would you rather eat French or Spanish or Italian food or German food, Swedish food, British food? See?
Well, that's an interesting question. Can duende be in food?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Mm. It's absolutely in food, and it's in music too.
I don't know if I want a heightened awareness of death in
your food?
In my burger.
Well, I mean, someone died for your burger.
Oh, right? I suppose. Touché.
Yeah. No. Really, I think that it can be extended to food in much the same way as a really good piece of meat, a really good steak. You have a heightened awareness of death there. You know, if you eat a great piece of meat with Duende, with this heightened awareness of death, you acknowledge that that death went into this meal. You know that there's a, you pay respect to the animal in a certain way. When you eat meat in such a way that you banish all thought of the once living animal that provided this thing,
like
that's when you
like
take
a fast food burger,
or, you know, or a slice of a bologna sandwich. You know, that's
bologna has no Duende.
Not the Oscar Mayer kind that you buy in slices at the grocery store. Maybe bologna from Bologna, Italy, you know, has Duende, of course.
I don't know. I've never had that. But, next time I don't care for my steak, I'm going to send it back and ask them if they could serve it with a little more Duende.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. A fantastic cut of steak, cooked rare, medium rare, has Duende. Cooked well done. The way with ketchup, the way Donald Trump supposedly likes his steaks, that's with no Duende. It's in food too. It's all blood. Right. There's sex and death even in food. You know,
I believe,
and it's absolutely true.
Interesting.
So the connection with Catholicism, it has to do with irrationality.
You think so?
Oh yeah, the Protestant Revolution.
I mean, how is
Protestant Reformation
more irrational than any?
The Protestant Reformation was, as we know from Keith Thomas's Religion and the Decline of Magic, was the first step toward the scientific enlightenment. Once you got rid of Catholicism, Protestantism it puts you down the road toward the total secularization of society and eventually the Enlightenment and the scientific revolution. Which is probably, arguably, a good thing for the human species in the long run, but it takes you away from Duende. You know?
Interesting.
One of my favorite examples of the Catholic mindset is supposedly this happened after I died, but I was watching from hell, and Mary McCarthy and Flannery O'Connor were on a panel together at a literary conference, and the panel discussion was about American writers and Catholicism. Mary McCarthy had grown up Catholic, but she wasn't practicing. She was a lapsed Catholic, whereas Flannery O'Connor was a fervent practicing Catholic until her death. And Mary McCarthy, when asked about transubstantiation...
Now, for those of you who don't know what it... transubstantiation is what?
Well, the Eucharist is, when you eat the communion wafer and drink the little thimble full of red wine, transubstantiation is the process by which the consecration turns the wafer and the wine into literally the flesh and blood of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Mary McCarthy remarked that she had come to see transubstantiation as a beautiful metaphor, to which Flannery O'Connor replied, "Well, if it's a metaphor, then to hell with it. What matters is the irrational
belief,
acceptance of magic. You know, that faith. Catholics know that faith, the religious faith, is not rational. The thing that always drives me nuts about Protestantism is that." That Protestantism, from Luther to Calvin and so on, it's all about trying to turn religion into an intellectual exercise, and it gets further away from the fundamental irrationality of belief, without which religion is meaningless. All it is just watered down Christianity that eventually leads to secularism and the scientific revolution.
That's all.
Right, that's it.
Well, it's thank you for sharing your thoughts on that, Señor Lorca.
you're welcome.
Yeah. All right. So, just we're going to give a quick gander or a quick listen to a piece of music, and let's see. Let me know if you feel like this has El Duende. Mm-hmm. Silence. Does silence have El Duende?
Well, sometimes silence does have Duende. As, as Thelonious Monk said, it's not the notes, but the space between the notes.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. You know, sometimes, baby, I'm so carefree. Joy that's hard to hide. And then sometimes again it seems that all I have is worry. And then you're bound to see my other side. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. I get more than my share, but that's one thing I never mean to do, 'cause I love you. Oh, oh, baby, I'm just human. Don't you know I have faults like anyone? Sometimes I find myself alone regretting some little foolish thing, some simple thing that I've done. 'Cause I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood. I try so hard, so please don't let me be.
I see that definitely has Duende. Despite the background orchestration, which now true Duende can shine through, can outshine even Duende-less cheesy background orchestration. Nina Simone absolutely had it, and also, you know, in her voice, you can listen to that same song, which I, you know, that's an old. A jazz and blues standard. I think that song comes from, you know, the Ten Pan Alley, you know, Great American Songbook days. You can listen to that same song being sung without Duende by someone with even a technically more perfect voice than Nina Simone. The part of Duende is not just the technical perfection, but imperfection. It's the sort of warbles and cracks in her voice. It's the moments where you can hear, you know, the human soul of the person singing the music.
Yeah. that's for sure. I don't think Nina Simone couldn't ever phone anything in.
No.
You know, and it is. It's an interesting song in that I think the animals did that. Mm-hmm.
I know. I can think of a zillion versions.
But
the animals did.
And there
it.
Is there's also an element of the Arabic it. In there. You know,
mm-hmm.
Like there's that sort of
warbling. Yeah, there's something that you hear in Arabic and Spanish and Indian music that, you know.
So I got to ask you, not to get like sidetracked, but so you had this little beef with Generalissimo Francisco Franco.
Oh yeah, Generalissimo Francisco. You know, Franco. Well, he had me murdered.
Yeah. But I think, you know, but I think in the long run, you know, you came out ahead.
Right. Right. Well, you know, but, like, now this is...
why? I mean, do you know why? I mean, what happened?
Well, I mean, this is something that in the body that I'm currently inhabiting, Ben Hale once heard this from in a class with a former poet laureate, Robert Haas, who said that, that Generalissimo Francisco Franco... like in the same way that Hitler was a failed painter, and other dictators have had artistic ambitions, you know, Saddam Hussein fancied himself a novelist.
And, oh, really?
Yeah. And
was he any good?
No, I don't know. I've never read. I've never read his books. Right. You know, but this
is
this
real
something...
estate a creative endeavor?
Well, see, Donald Trump has absolutely no duende. You know, Hitler had way more duende than Donald Trump. It's true.
Yeah. I guess duende is, yeah.
But also, you know, it's something kind of interesting that a lot of dictators, and I mean old-fashioned dictators, like Hitler, Mussolini, Generalissimo Francisco
Stalin,
Franco.
Did he?
Well, Stalin did have some artistic ambitions. I can't remember exactly what they were, but I think Stalin was also a poet.
Oh, really?
But a lot of dictators are failed artists or have an intense interest in art. And it's something kind of interesting. I find it to be an interesting connection. Mm. But like Hitler was a failed painter and Kim Jong-il was a filmmaker.
Oh, well, right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever seen his monster movies, but they're pretty funny.
Kim Jong-il?
Kim Jong-il, yeah, the father of Kim Jong-un. The one who died 5-6 years ago, something
like
that. But you can see his movies on YouTube.
You can see
Kim Jong-il's movies.
The
that
dictator
he directed.
Of North Korea's father's.
Well, back when he was dictator of North Korea, he was also a film director, and he made a few movies, and some of them.
I guess it's really easy to get things green-lighted if you're
You're the dictator. But you can see Kim Jong Il's movies on YouTube. They've been uploaded for free, and they are some of the most bizarre, nonsensical, hallucinatory things. Funny, unintentionally funny. There would be a great thing to watch on drugs if you're a college student, you know.
Well, not that we, Senor Lorca, we can't really encourage kids to be doing things illegally.
Right. With Duende, you know, anyhow.
So Franco.
But
so Franco murders you.
Franco
murders you.
Was a fledgling amateur poet.
That wasn't because you were a communist. I mean, he was...
It is certainly possible and probably true that the fact that Federico Garcia Lorca was, I think his brother-in-law was a prominent communist leader. And I think Federico Garcia Lorca himself was certainly affiliated with communists, but he never spoke about politics in public. He was not really a political figure, although he had connections with communists. And it also may have had to do with the fact that I was gay, am still gay, even though I'm dead. And but it has been theorized that simple professional jealousy on Franco's part may have had something to do with his ordering the execution of Garcia Lorca, me.
So really, so you think that Franco was just jealous of you
because he knew that I was the better poet.
Well,
he may have been the better dictator.
He was actually a rather effective dictator.
Mm-hmm. No, he was the dictator for a very long time.
Till 75.
Uh-huh, till 1975. And he died, he was 90-something when he died, wasn't he?
Yeah. But, so had he been a painter, you think maybe Dalí would have gotten the...
My favorite thing...
But Dalí was kind of a fascist himself.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of artists have... my favorite thing that anyone has ever said about Salvador Dalí was Vladimir Nabokov said about Salvador Dalí in the novel Penin, that Dalí was Norman Rockwell had he been kidnapped by gypsies.
I have no idea what that means, but that's kind of funny. Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that. Mm-hmm. Well, it's coming on Paddy's Day.
That's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I guess sort of in keeping with your theory of Catholicism mm-hmm. versus Protestantism and the existence of El Duende, mm-hmm. Ireland seems to be sort of flush with it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the reason why, I definitely think that the reason why Irish literature and music has just seductive, enchanting qualities that British music and literature just, you know, can't touch is because Catholicism stayed around in Ireland, whereas Britain became a Protestant country.
Mm. But again, that sort of begs the question, like, why? I mean, because Ireland was actually Christianized before Britain.
I did not know that. Yeah. But, I mean, I'm not an expert in Irish things. I'm only Iberian things.
Right, right, right.
Being Spanish.
Yes.
Right. Although there is that myth that that one ship that was in the back of the Spanish Armada crash-landed on the coast of Ireland and that the Spaniards sort of fled into the interior and became the forefathers of the Black Irish.
Yeah, that's kind of a myth, I think.
I don't think that's true.
Yeah,
I
generally, think if they got shipwrecked, they probably did, the Irish killed them.
Well, I mean, you know, it's not hard to imagine that the Irish have no particular love for the British and that the Spaniards who landed there, you know, said, well, you're Catholic, we're Catholic. We both hate the British. I can see it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you're giving a little too much credit to... to sort of a, like illiterate peasants scratching out a...
Well, you know, I have heard.
I mean, just some guy washes up on your shore. You're like, you know, somebody else to feed. I'm like, I'm not down with
Dutch
that.
Dutch people have told me that you can usually tell whether someone is from northern or southern Holland based on their personality. That if they are kind of icy and aloof and standoffish and uptight.
Let me guess. Northern.
Mm-hmm. Northern Holland, that's right, where they're Protestants. But in southern Holland, where they are still Catholic because they were occupied by Spain during the Seven Years' War and Catholicism stuck around there, they tend to be easygoing, relaxed, life-loving, funny, warm people.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah, because Catholicism is, you know, the thing is that people always talk about Catholic guilt and so on. But the thing about Catholicism is that it actually allows you to be human, because everyone sins and then you go and confess it to the priest and you get shriven, which is the word for that. Mm. And you know, your slate is wiped. Whereas Protestantism, you know, your sins stick around in your soul you die.
It's kind of heavy.
And the whole everything about the very serious personal relationship with God. You know, it's its obsession with integrity. You know, like, all right. For example,
But what about Unitarians?
Well, you know, I don't know about Unitarians. You know, like for example,
happy.
Yeah, okay. There was, I was having a conversation, not me, Federico Garcia Lorca, but I was having that Ben Hale, whose voice I'm speaking through at the moment. He was having a conversation with you. There was that guy who was in the Navy that we were talking to at that restaurant back when Danielle's band was playing. What's that guy's name? He came to your dinner afterward. He's Danielle's friend from college.
Yeah, nice guy.
Yeah. He was the helicopter pilot who was stationed in the Navy for a long time.
Right.
And he was telling the story about how he was stationed in Saudi Arabia. And he spent a long time living in Saudi Arabia, 6 years or something like that. And then the first place that he went after being stationed in Riyadh was he went to, got on a plane to visit someone in Naples. And he was walking around in Naples. And he said that he walked into this piazza where there was a woman playing harp. And there were a couple of teenagers just making out, like just full-scale public display of affection on this park bench in the piazza, and he said that it was such an incredible, and people were drinking wine on the streets, and he could smell the food cooking in the restaurants, and he was like, oh my God, this feels so good after living in Riyadh for 6 years, where women can't show their faces in public, and there's no music, because music is outlawed in public,
really?
There's no drinking, no games, and it's just the human soul is just banished indoors. Whereas in Italy, in a Catholic country, nominally Catholic country, there's, you know, music and love and lust and wine is just out on the streets and the sun in full display. And it was just such an incredible feeling of an embrace of humanity after being stuck in Saudi Arabia for 6 years. That is Duende. It's...
Brett
is
the name.
Brett, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. So we're going to go out with a tune which I feel like doesn't have, I think Duende makes an appearance in the song. Mm-hmm. It's a very produced piece, but then there's just this, you let me know.
I'll let
you
know.
We're going to go out with this one.
The island that is silent now, but the ghosts still haunt the waves, and a torch lights up a famished man who fortune could not save. Did you work upon the railroads? Did you rid the streets of crime? Were your dollars from the White House? Were they from the five and dime? Did the old songs talk to cheer you? And did they still make you cry? Did you count the months and years? Or did your teardrops quickly dry? I know the things was not to be on a coffin ship. I came here and I never even got so far that they could change my name. Thousands are sailing across the Western Ocean to a land of opportunity that some of them will never see. Fortune prevailing across the Western Ocean, their bodies full, their spirits free. They'll break the chain.
Well, what do you think, Lorca?
I think that has that definitely has Duende. I would say medium Duende.
Medium Duende?
Medium Duende.
Medium,
yeah.
Medium.
You know, I think you know, his voice definitely has Duende. But,
well, Shane McGowan is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I think that just like the Nina Simone song, I think that his voice would probably benefit from somewhat sparser, you know, instrumentation behind it. So.
Well, I got to say, thank you so much for showing up tonight, Federico Garcia Lorca. We got to go.
It's been wonderful to be reincarnated into 2019.
Mm-hmm. And you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM. Pledge.
Give money.
Yes, a little bit. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Bye now.
Main Street in Catskill.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com. Thank you.
Hi, this is Debbie Mayer in Hudson, and you're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 on your radio dial or streaming 24/7 at WGXC.org.
Hi, I'm Al Criazzo. Casco Mountain Housing is looking to help income-qualified homeowners in Greene County. We have funding available.